Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On Mystery Inc. Proudly present, no borders, no race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your host, King Baby Duck. We've got something special planned for today's episode. Now, we don't have any guests coming on, sadly, but we have a sort of theme planned out for what I'll be talking about. A key element, or rather, a person to the anime realm. We're gonna go way, way back, not to the beginning of the anime and manga world, but to when the industry got its gears really turning. But first, as usual, we're gonna start off with some music. Don't worry, you'll know soon enough what I have cooking for today's show, although those who follow me on Twitter will know exactly what I have in store for all of you. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these albums and EPs from cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start things off with a B-side from Last Alliance, coming off of their Always In My Heart single. This melody is called I-O-J-F-K.
Yeah.
banana for your taste buds from their album Teeny Shiny. That was Moon Flavor. I'm a big lover of the theater world, as evident in past podcast episodes and articles, but it's not often when I can say I have experienced both theater and anime in one setting. Sure, I can fly to Japan and catch the most recent musicals based off of Sailor Moon or Bleach, but those productions tend to bring more groans than cheers from someone like me. Although that Black Butler one looks pretty freaking awesome. Also, I'm still kicking myself for not being able to check out that Princess Mononoke one in London. That looked really incredible. But anyways, here in the Boston area, we have been given the chance to check out what can only be described as a visual treasure. This is Astro Boy and the God of Comics. The original production took place a couple years ago in DC and was written and directed by Natsu on the Power, who had the privilege of meeting Astro Boy's creator Osamu Tezuka before he passed away in the 80s. Told backwards chronologically, the play begins with the death of Astro Boy and ends with the birth of Tezuka. Now, I'm gonna do my best to explain what I saw in this play, because I can't even compare my experience with this show with anything else I've seen. These eyes of mine, they've witnessed some pretty cool things. I've seen the original cast of Wicked and Monty Python's Spamalot on Broadway. Amanda Palmer as the MC in Cabaret. Billy Crystal sharing his life stories in 700 Sundays. And, most recently, Bryan Cranston take on the role of LBJ in All the Way, months before he'd win a Tony for said performance. But this show, it practically invents a new style of theater. There's not even a word yet for the kind of theater genre it is because it's that new. Also, I'll do my best to keep this spoiler-free. So, told in 12 parts, Astro Boy and the God of Comics begins with a new story about the sun's radioactive waves making trouble for the Earth, and the only one who can save us all is Astro Boy, played by Gianella Flores. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, by the way. So, he flies to the sun and sacrifices himself to save humanity. It then goes back to when he's rebooted and brought back to life by Dr. Elephant, who has announced that Astro Boy is now free to go wherever he wants. At first, the play seems very lighthearted, and at times, a bit goofy. I mean, there was a lot of people laughing, especially when you saw how Astro Boy goes and flies off into the sun. But things do get darker when we find Astro Boy at a robot expo, being treated like some sort of circus freak. He's forced to destroy another robot for show, and he breaks down crying because of what he has done. It's right after then that we are shown the creation of Astro Boy, as well as the superpowers and facts of what the robot can do. All looks well, and his creator, Dr. Toynton, is happy with the creation, until he discovers that Astro will never age. He breaks into a rage and destroys Astro, giving way to an image that is one of like the most heartbreaking scenes in all of the play. Soon we are seen why Astro Boy was created, with the death of Dr. Toynton's son. In this scene, other members of the ensemble are drawing out the Boston cityscape quickly and beautifully, all leading up to the sounds and sight of a horrific car accident, leaving the doctor's son's body lying on the ground lifeless. It's another very beautiful shot, with these words that I'm speaking not able to really do that part justice. Just the fact that these cast members are drawing the scene out live so quickly, and to the events happening on the stage and screen behind them, it's just really crazy what they were able to pull off. Now, closing off the Astro Boy aspect of the show was a question of why Astro Boy, and most anime characters in general, look more Caucasian than Asian, and has all the cast members frantically drawing one nationality after another in a frenzied state. It's a really funny scene, and it all ends with a great punchline, that I can't spoil here. I mean, this cast is just was just really incredible with the whole drawing and everything. It was so just wow. But, you know, I know I talked a lot about this part, about Astro Boy, and I haven't even touched yet on the Osamu Tezuka parts. So what I think I'm going to do right here is I'm going to take a bit of a breather, but when we come back, I'll share with you all about the second half of Astro Boy in the God of Comics. For now, why don't we go back to some music? Up next, we've got a song from the Terror and Resonance soundtrack, composed by Yoko Kanno and performed by American indie rock band Pop Etc. This song is called Lava.
Yeah.
Ciel, that comes off of their 1999 album Arc. The band is currently on hiatus, but all their members are busy as ever with Hyde's Vamps project back in fruition and Yukihiro starting a new band called Geek Sleep Sheep. Going back into the play Astro Boy and the God of Comics, the second half of the show focuses on Astro Boy's creator, Osamu Tezuka. You get testimony from his wife and co-workers about how he was always living to work. And as they do so, they are drawing out pieces of what will soon become a picture of Tezuka. They talk about how he was always trying to give 100%, pushing his fellow workers to the brink of exhaustion, and even on his deathbed, how he kept working until he passed out. Tezuka then appeared, played by Clark Young, and talks about how they managed to make the Astro Boy anime by cutting some corners here and there in a very, very smart way. Like, it's very hard to really go into it, but it's, you gotta just hear how they did it. It's actually pretty funny. Then it goes into the deadline of the character's creation, and it's all done in this amazingly put together choreography piece. There's live drawing, dancing, action, and epiphanies that lead towards Astro's birth. It also had a bit of a silent movie vibe to it, like a Harold Lloyd film. The cast then performs a play version, or rather a radio play version, of the first few pages of Tezuka's New Treasure Island, which is mostly sound effects due to the content of those pages, and you can just see the enthusiasm of these performers as they do this. The most jaw-dropping scene during the second half deals with Tezuka trying to draw as an air raid goes on in Japan during World War II. He's on the ground drawing while people are running in the streets and being shot at. Others are drawing on the screen behind him as blood splatters and atom bombs go off, leading towards a hauntingly quiet landscape as actor Jeff Swan plays an incredibly somber version of Astro's theme song. The show then ends with the beginning, with Tezuka sharing his earliest childhood moments to the audience. And I'm actually curious to know if those were real home videos of Tezuka or it was just created for the show. Now, I know I said a lot here, but believe me when I tell you that these words that are describing Astro Boy in the God of Comics still pale in comparison to actually watching this play. The actors diving deep into their roles, the live drawings and the videos that play seamlessly with the action around them, the choreography, and just the way the stories of Astro Boy and Osamu Tezuka were told were just simply breathtaking. I can't even imagine how long it must have took the cast and crew to become so in sync with one another because of how complex the show really is. You know, it sometimes even felt like I was watching a cartoon live on stage because of the way that the actors were moving and whatnot. In fact, you know, I was talking with Phil Berman, one of the other cast members, after the show, and I told him that I could easily see this play being turned into an animated documentary all on its own. Now, Company One deserves a lot of recognition for what they were able to pull off, and Natsu Onda Power is really someone who is going to be earning her place in the theater books. A couple years ago, I read a story about the birth of Holy Shit Theater, which is a style of stage productions that are so enthralling that you can only utter the phrase, "Holy Shit," right after watching them. Cabaret was one such experience, as was Prometheus Bound. In fact, ART is currently the king of Holy Shit Theater, in my opinion. But these artists and actors over at Company One Theater, they've really upped the ante and went above the limits of Holy Shit Theater. Like I said earlier, this play is a whole new style of stage performance. It has no name yet, but maybe they'll come up with one that captures the essence of an indescribable experience. You know, it's actually kind of funny. On my way to see this play, I was trying to think back to when I first learned about Astro Boy. Initially, I thought it was something I saw on TV, or a documentary, or an anime referencing Astro Boy. Suddenly, like, I had a flashback to when I was a little kid. And in this memory, I was at Boston's Children's Museum. They had this setup. They have this setup, rather. It's still there. Where you could visit a Japanese house. But before you go there, you have to stay in this Japanese train for a second as it magically transported you to the land of the rising sun. When the subway doors opened, you saw bits and pieces of Akihabara and Shibuya before you went to the house. And in those sections, they had a picture of Astro Boy and, I believe, a clip from the first episode of the 1980s version of the show. It was in color from what I can remember. And as soon as I realized this, as soon as I remembered this, what I had been saying that it was Ranma One Half that introduced me to anime wound up not being true. In reality, my first introduction was Osamu Tezuka's creation. You know, it's just weird how things connect the way they do, especially in my line of work. But anyways, For all of you out there who are living in the New England area, I urge you, go see Astro Boy and the God of Comics. It's at the BCA Plaza Theater in Boston until August 16th. You'll never see another play like this. And I do hope that Power Song one day brings it to Broadway so, you know, it can win all the Tonys and everything like that. I'm really serious, guys. Really, don't miss this show. Go to companyone.org right now and buy yourselves tickets to this play. I can't recommend it enough. All right, let's go back to some music. Coming up, we've got Anna Sutya, who released a brand new EP earlier this year. Here's a song from her 2010 album, Woo. It's called Brave Vibration.
No doubt, the engine's not the fiction. I'm time to end my days. I'm coolie kayasu.
So it burns in the night, return down the flight. The world is uncertain, I'm certain by the curtains tonight. You will not know but groan, we will not dare. We'll always smile and care and play with your hair. got to reverse the pattern. What's the worst that could happen? For the first time in my adulthood, the worst that could happen is utterly unthinkable, sinking unsaid dread. And suddenly I'm worried about the bread under the bed. But then all sorts of awful shit seem plausible indoors. Proportions get warped into the worst, and for certain you're growing thumbs. I'm going numb. Tucked into your mum looks like it might be quite fun. A blip on a screen. You don't know me. I think about you and what you'll grow to be. A blip on a screen. You don't know me. I think about you and what you'll grow to be. Black and white blotches to watch and not get. And then flashes of sense along with your body and head. It is all as simple as you think when you are little. It is all as simple as me sinking a little drink. You're growing nails, mine are so nailed. I'm drinking your mother's wine for both of us today. You don't know choice, but you know my voice. You should have never have chosen me, I've loved like a boy. The world's so dark sometimes, the noise of the cars. Building a world full up with toys and stars. A blip on a screen. You don't know me. I think about you and what you'll grow to be. A blip on a screen. You don't know me. I think about you and what you'll grow to be. You'll dance on every song, footfall, every little move. Before you realise that every noise is not music. My dad raced these thoughts. He paced these boards. I never knew I just grew, that's all you can do. But then growing to an adult is just learning the language of explaining with words what you were as a baby. You'll leisurely learn how to lie and pretend, to service your love and rely on your friends. This could be fraught, but it's all I got taught. And I don't want to make it up as I go along with yours. A blip on a screen, you don't know me. I think about you and what you'll grow to be. A blip on a screen, you don't know me. I think about you and what you'll grow to be. A blip on a screen, you don't know me. I think about you and what you'll grow to be. I fix and I plan, but this is just mad. I love you. You're only 100 pixels on a scan.
The Streets with A Blip on the Screen. This particular song was released for free on Twitter many years ago, but since then it's been quite hard for fans to track it down. Mike Skinner closed the book on The Streets a couple years ago, and has since been heard in the group The Dot with former The Music frontman Rob Harvey. Now, with Asher Boy and the God of Comics, there is a lot of focus on the creation of our favorite robot hero, with a brief segment on Osamu Tezuka's earlier work, New Treasure Island. So I'm sure some of you who aren't familiar with his work would assume that these two creations were what cemented that God of Comics title to him. Well, while he became famous with Astro Boy, he had others that kept him in the limelight for his entire career. In fact, in his life, he created over 700 different series. Something that I believe no other comic creator, even Stan Lee or Bob Kane, has been able to do. So, right now, let me give you listeners some recommendations of the best of the best of his work outside of Astro Boy. Now, one of the first ones I'd like to mention is the other creation that made him popular here in America, and that is Kimba the White Lion. It follows a young cub who is born on a boat and re-enters himself into the wild. Humans are attacking the jungles, and animals are having issue trusting the people who wish to help them in their troubles. And Kimba is the only one who knows that communication and mutual respect between the humans and animals will only lead to peace. This was very popular in the 60s and has spun a TV series, a film, and most recently a TV special. In fact, when Matthew Broderick signed on for the movie The Lion King, he initially thought Disney was doing an adaptation of Kimba, what with it rhyming with Simba. In fact, a lot of people believe that The Lion King ripped off Kimba, but Disney says the similarities between the two are more coincidental. I'm actually one of those who thinks otherwise. Next up is Metropolis, based off of Fritz Lang's silent movie. It's about a detective named Higio Yachi, who tries to take care of Michi, a gender-switching robot, after its creator is killed. Now, some of you may have heard of the anime film that it was adapted into, and if you've never seen it, I highly recommend checking it out. It's definitely one of the most underrated animated movies that came out last decade. Great animation, and a superb soundtrack. Now, I was talking to Sawa-sensei online earlier, and when I mentioned I was doing Tezuka-themed segments for this episode, she mentioned her love for Blackjack. Now, in my opinion, while Astro Boy is iconic, Blackjack was his masterpiece. He's a medical expert that is the best in the world, but he only heals those that are the highest bidders. And while he charges a hefty fee for everyone, and donates it to charity, he will offer his services for free to anyone who can tell them a story about their illness. This manga has spawned an OVA collection, an anime series, a film, and even a clever promo featuring Hugh Laurie's Dr. House. Lastly, there's Buddha. And while I believe Blackjack is his best work, this one is a close second. It's an interpretation of the life of Gautama Buddha, the man who founded the religion. It's somewhat controversial, but is very much respected both by Buddhist figures and critics for his take on Buddha's life. Currently, there's an anime trilogy underway adapting these comics being done by both Tezuka Productions and Toei Animation, the same guys who do One Piece and Sailor Moon. The first film came out in 2011, the second one was released this past February, and the final one is due sometime next year. There are so many others to mention as well, like Phoenix, Princess Knight, and Unico, all of which are also recommended, but with a huge assortment under his belt, trying to tie down the ones you should check out is a very daunting task. Now, I suggest checking out his official site at tezukaosamu.net, which is in English, thankfully, and seeing which of his works resonate with you the most. You can even read Natsu Onda Power's book, God of Comics, Osamu Tezuka in the Creation of Post-World War II Manga, which became the basis for her play. Hopefully, you'll find something of his to enjoy, and that you'll tell all your friends to check it out as well. Now, let's go back to some more music. Accompanied by Namie Amaro and Lil Wayne, here's Verbal with a track from his solo album, Visionaire. It's called Blackout.
In the back pocket, and I wear them skinny jeans, so you see my face. blackout.
Which is off of the second volume of their Great Vacation Best of Compilation series. Last year they released two new albums, Justice and Guilty, so be sure to give those a try as well. Tezuka's work has influenced many artists from around the world, many of which have been given personal guidance by the man himself. Go Nagai was one such artist who would go on to create Devilman, Cutie Honey, and Mazinger Z. Sotaro Ishinomori, the creator of Kamen Rider and Cyborg 009, was another. In fact, many famous manga artists would even live in his Tokiwaso apartment, including Ishinomori and the duo Arakomoto and Hiroshi Fujimoto, who worked together under the pen name Fujiko Fujio and created Japan's other famous robot pal, Doraemon. One manga artist that was greatly influenced by Tezuka's work is Naoki Urasawa. His famous monster series had the protagonist Dr. Tenma, sharing the same name as Astro's creator. In it, he saves the life of a young boy who would then go on to become a serial killer that Dr. Tenma was tracked down and stopped, as he feels responsible for letting all this happen in the first place. Urasawa would later do a reimagining of Astro Boy in his series Pluto, where a robot detective tries to solve the case of a string of robot and human deaths. Many characters from Tezuka's works are referenced throughout the manga, serving as both protagonists and antagonists during its run. Now, outside of Japan, Astro Boy and other characters from Tezuka's stories would appear in other media. There was, of course, the 2009 film made by Imagi, which not only was a box office bomb, but practically destroyed the animation company and canceled their plans for all their other films, including the Gatchaman adaptation. I'll admit, I've still not seen that version of Astro Boy yet. I've been wanting to, but I haven't been given a chance yet. In one other instance, though, Brazilian artist Mauricio de Souza, a personal friend of Tezuka, would feature the characters in a story arc in his Monica Teen series. The characters from both artists' minds would team up in the Amazon, and they would take down a smuggling company who was chopping down the rainforest trees. Many owe a debt to Osamu Tezuka, from Hayao Miyazaki to Akira Toriyama. In fact, if it wasn't for Tezuka and the way he drew, which came from his love of Mickey Mouse and other Walt Disney characters, anime and manga would look very different from the way it does today. His dedication helped bring anime and manga all across the world, paving way for artists to be inspired by these lovable characters. So, when you pick up a copy of the latest volume of Bleach, or Fairy Tail, or UQ Holder, remember that this whole animation world, this world of manga, would probably be a much, much smaller place had it not been for Osamu Tezuka. And now, let's return to our playlist. Weird Al Yankovic had a huge week with the release of his number one album, Mandatory Fun, not to mention the unveiling of 8 brilliant music videos. Here's my favorite song off of the new LP, which features our favorite Amanda Palmer doing backing vocals, perhaps returning the favor for his vocal contribution on the Evelyn LP. This is First World Problems.
My maid is cleaning the bathroom, so I can't take a shower. When I Because I know that that do my soul. Damn, my day, you shall not, so you got that soul.
Kazuko with Iron Soul, coming off of their Easy Walk single. This year, to celebrate their 10th anniversary, the band released a best-of album called Kaho. So if you're wanting to jump into their music, then this may be your best bet. Well, that about wraps up this special episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade. And also, don't forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program. Once again, please go and see Astro Boy and the God of Comics at the BCA Plaza Theater in Boston. It's there until August 16th. For tickets and more information, go to companyone.org right now. You will not regret it. We're going to end the show with one of the closing themes from the 2003 Astro Boy series. Of course we are. Why wouldn't we? This one has got a ska flavor to it, and it's from the compilation album Astro Girls and Boys. This is Zone and Runtime All-Stars with Tetsuon Atom. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck, always reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.